This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Every team, every topic, everywhere, this is Believe.
Bet Online has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Head to the website, betonline.ag, or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet Online, your online sportsbook experts.
And you're eating your soup.
Welcome to the freshest batch of soup, the Soccer Soup Podcast. Today, we just have Sal Zizzo and myself. Alan Gordon tripped on his way down the stairs and couldn't make it.
Yeah, I don't know if it's a second vaccine type 24-hour thing we got going on, but we'll miss him and hopefully be back next week. He's on the disabled list.
I'm looking forward to the excuses that he comes up with. If he can put a coherent story together, whatever. Yeah. That's all.
I think he was waiting for us to be like, take it easy, man. He's like, I'm sweating, but I'll still hop on if you guys need me.
I'll still do it. I still do it if you guys need me.
We're like, it's all right, dude. It's all right.
Bro, you bogged the show down anyway, Gordo. We're all set. And he was going to be upstaged by our guest tonight, Rubio Rubin, who is one of the brightest stars in front of the net right now, scoring goals for Real Salt Lake. We're excited to have him. Welcome, Rubio. Who's your roommate? You live with somebody on Salt Lake?
No, my roommate works. He actually lived here before me, and I met him from a mutual friend from college. And he was living out here, and I said, like, yo, what's good? Like, you know, looking for a roommate. And yeah, he's down here, but he works here at Wells Fargo. So
well done, man. I would say if I could go back and do that again, I would live with people from outside the team if I could.
Oh.
100%. I lived with too many teammates and it was too much of a mess.
Yeah, you're just around them all the time. Yeah.
You can't get away from them. And then you end up like two-footing them in practice because they didn't clean their shit up in the kitchen. And it's like, you know, things that lines start to blend.
I think the worst is probably like, say for example, like, because I've roomed also with teammates, but if one teammate is playing and it's going well, and then the other teammate isn't playing,
bringing just you down,
around, yeah, like a miserable, just a
you can't
miserable
really talk
prick.
About it. You know what I mean? You can't really like show like, you know, a lot of like excitement because like your roommate's not even on the bench or something. So
that's how it was in college for me.
Oh,
for
sure. Wait, you're going out for drinks again, and I'm in bed at 9:30. Yeah,
exactly. So no, it's chill. I mean, my roommate's cool and. He's also from Portland area, or he lived in Eugene for a little bit. So,
oh, nice.
You know, we're both from Oregon.
So bro, we miss you at Loyal, dude.
Nah, man, I miss Loyal. I mean, I had a good time there, man. Even those 5-6 games that I played there, dude. It was a lot of fun, you know. No, I was actually thinking about it the other day, man. Like, when did I like first see you? I mean, it was probably when you're at the Timbers. It was you and Hassan,
Al Hassan.
When you guys would play wingers, man, and you guys would be the ones that would.
Dude, that's funny.
I mean, how old were you at the Timbers?
I was 23, 24. It was funny because Dan, I was telling, when Rubio first came to the team, I remember doing like an end of the year banquet with the Timbers. It was like our first year, and Rubio's dad came up to me and was just like, oh yeah, we're huge fans, like my son plays on the U14 national team. And you know, at the time you're like, oh yeah, every kid, you know, whatever, U14. And then like I remembered his name and I was like looking him up and stuff, and then like then he signed with Utrecht in Holland. Uh-huh. And I was just like, wow, this dude's legit, bro.
Nah, man, good times, man. I mean, it's funny, it's crazy, you're just following your career and stuff, but yeah.
So wait, who's a bigger phenom? You or Freddie Adu? That sounds young.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, me being compared to Freddie, I don't think I was even close to that, man. I mean, Freddie was people were saying he was Pelé, the next Pelé.
Yeah. Yeah. So you got some awards early on, right? National Player of the Year or something?
Yeah, in 2012. Yeah, no, I definitely had a really good start, but then my career went.
What do you think it was though? What?
To be completely honest with you, I think when I was in Holland, when I was 19, 20, I think the mental aspect really affected me, because I went from being the best player through the youth national team and then getting to Europe and not being the best player. You know what I mean? And not being used to the bench and, first time it happened at 19, 20. And then that kind of just sunk me in this hole where I was mentally everywhere, in the standpoint of I'd be I need to train more. I need to train more. Where it wasn't, I needed to train more. My skill and all the practice I did from a young age was all there. I was just, I would psych myself out. And then that's when I had my foot injury that kept me out for 7 months. And, I think more mental and also the pressure from home, my parents, but my dad would call me and he'd call me every day and be what's going on with you? Are you not training enough? What's going on with your soccer and stuff? And then I would be psyching myself out. I'll go to bed early. I wouldn't enjoy my life off the field. It would be soccer, soccer, soccer. Mm-hmm. So I got to this point where I was just I was done with it. You know what I mean? I was just fed up. And
yeah,
just a couple of years ago, I had a real deep conversation with my dad about that. You know what I mean? Because my dad always viewed me as a star, the guy that has to be, he can't drink wine, he can't have a beer, he can't,
Yeah.
Do anything, hang out with girls, can't have a girlfriend, you know what I mean? Because he has to fully focus on soccer. And when I had that deep conversation with him, I came out real and I told him, look, Dad, do you know me as a son? You know what I mean? Do you see me as your son or do you just see me as a soccer player?
Yeah.
And it got deep, you know what I mean?
That's a big combo, man.
That's what I'm saying. And he also broke down. I was breaking down in tears, because he realized in that moment, it was yes, I love soccer. It's everything to me, you know what I mean? But you have to come to a point where you have to see me as your son as well and not just this star, you know what I mean? As a player, yeah. Always have to be locked in. Always my mentality always has to be training. Everything around my life has to be around. And no, you know what I mean? I told him.
And there's a thin line too, right? Because I bet you could credit a lot of your success and your drive to him, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. A lot of my reason why I play is because of him.
Yeah.
And
was he a former? Yeah, did he play? Did he play?
No,
game?
He never played professionally. He just played youth and Mexican league. And I think that kind of that fine line, like you said, is something that I had to find a balance. And I found that in Mexico when I moved to Mexico. And how the players kind of go on with their life and, enjoy off the field stuff, barbecues and stuff like that. And I kind of brought that same mentality to Loyal and now even here. So long journey, but it's chill.
Hey, what prompted that conversation? That how did that come up?
I think we were just going to lunch and I think I was gonna a soda or something, and his mindset was like, "Oh, you can't drink soda. You're a soccer player,"
uh-huh.
Something like that in Spanish. And I just lost it, man. I was like, "Look, Lee, I need to talk to you." You know what I mean?
Just right at the Chipotle.
Yeah, I was like, "We gotta talk, man." And then we were in the car and stuff. We got home, and I just told him shit. I was like, "Dude, you're gonna lose me. I'm gonna lose my love for soccer if you just continue to be like this." You know what I mean? And he still does it a little bit now, but he's gotten better at being like. How's your life going? You know what I mean? How's your girlfriend? How's everything going with that? You know what I mean? It's not just about soccer now.
It takes a little bit of the pressure off, right? And then you can kind of enjoy it. Yeah.
Yeah, enjoy it. And I think just also, enjoying the little things, having a glass of wine, enjoying a beer. I used to never be like that, man. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I used to just be like, I got to lock in. If a soccer player drinks, it's the worst thing for you. It's I'm not saying I'm, drinking every day, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But, after a game, it's okay to share a beer with a teammate and, kind of just relax. You know what I mean?
Man, it's impossible to be on 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. You can't do it.
Yeah, exactly. And not only that, but soccer is, sports in general, it's one of the most demanding, people think it's luxury. It is, you know what I mean? If you can, do well and stuff, but a lot of the time on Saturdays and Sundays, I'm at home doing nothing while everyone's, going out, having a good time, not having to worry about work. And then, it's all this mentality of you got to eat healthy. You got to really take care of your body. You got to make sure you're getting treatment. And, you know, putting in the work in the gym and stuff like that to continue to improve and be ready when the moment comes.
Yeah, you're absolutely spot on. There's a difference between, I think, what people think professional sports is versus what the actual lifestyle is. It's a lifestyle.
Yeah.
It's not a craft where you check in, clock in and clock out.
Yeah. It's all day. It's a, yeah, it is a 24/7 thing. And the time you can,
As you get further along and better in your craft, you realize you get closer to that 24-hour commitment, right? I mean, you get closer and closer and you refine little things and change little pieces. And, but part of that, man, part of that is also pulling back the layers of the onion a little bit.
Dan, I don't know if this was similar to what you experienced, but I remember when I, you know, was in a, you know, I was a young guy and in a similar position to Rubio, you know, in the MLS wanting to kind of prove myself. And I felt like when I had my first kid, it kind of like opened my eyes a little bit and took some of the pressure off, at least of soccer, you know, on what was, you know, important in life. Right. Mm-hmm. And so, and that actually helped me like big time. I felt like when I had my first kid, I was able to kind of relax and like soccer was, you know, it was obviously the next biggest thing in my life, opposed to my family, but it enabled me to like relax a little bit. I don't know if you had a similar thing when you had your first kid, Dan, but yeah, I noticed
I think that was a big one. So I actually had a loss that kind of changed my perspective. Oh, okay. And my wife got pregnant for the first time and lost a pregnancy and a miscarriage. And it was in between. I was out of contract with Chicago. And we were negotiating with the Fire and ultimately decided that we were going to go to San Jose and play for the Earthquakes. And it was a big moment. My wife was settled in Chicago. I was settled in Chicago. We had just got married. We were, you know, in a good groove, right? A good run. And made the decision and then found out that she was pregnant. I left for preseason. Left for camp and got a call, you know, that she was going in for her 8-week checkup, flew her sister and flew her mom in cause I couldn't be there and got a call that there was no heartbeat. And like, you know, at that point it was our first pregnancy. So you don't really think that, or I guess you don't really fully understand that this thing is a miracle and it determines you more so than you determine it. And I got the call as soon as practice was over and I was like, oh my God. I left camp in the middle of a new team. And things kind of, you know, changed over the year and I won't get it, you know, too far into it, but that for me was a defining moment where I was like, wow, soccer is really not that important in the grand scheme of things. And it reminds you that there are a lot of other things that take precedent, but it absolutely did that, Sal. It takes the pressure off and you realize that like, there's family and there's life and there's relationships with your father and your wife and, you know, your significant others that they can take precedent in this time. And that was that was a big moment. You're absolutely right. It does take the pressure off.
Yeah, for sure.
No, 100. I mean, yeah, that's life. And, you know, at the same time, you know, I think everyone has like very different ways where they get to a point where, you know, you're kind of, you know, content. For me, obviously, like, because I had my highs and I had my lows, like I was just got to a point where I just was like, I just want to, you know,
let me ask you, Rubio, so do you obviously, I think, and you probably should, you still have aspirations to, you know, play for the national team and do all that, right? Was there a moment similar to kind of what we were talking about where maybe you just were like, all right, I'm gonna like let go of that dream for a little bit, I just want to like play soccer, I'm not even thinking about that, you know, at a certain point. And then obviously you focus on just doing it at the club level. And now maybe your name starts popping up back up in the national scene. So did that also help a little bit with the pressure? Because I feel like Dan, maybe you had this too, like at a young age, you know, the national team is like everything, right? You want to be like this young player and you want to play on the national team. But then there comes a moment as you start to get older where it's like, all right, well, that's, you know, not everything as well. And it enables you to kind of calm down and focus really what, you know, you're doing with your club a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I don't think there's a moment I can say where it changed, but I think when I went to San Diego, like hitting, you know, cause obviously you strive to be at the highest level, you know, any player's going to tell you that. When I got to San Diego Loyola, I was like, man, you know what I mean? Like I want no MLS team wanted me, you know what I mean? And I just was like, I'm going to San Diego, just do my thing. And from there, I think that's where the moment where like when I hit that rock bottom and I realized that like there's no more lower than here, I was like, okay, like now it's time to like, you know, step it up. And maybe I had this mindset where it's like, oh, like there'll always be a team or whatever, you know what I mean? And I think the reality of it being like, oh, there's no team,
yeah,
kind of shook me and was like, oh crap, you know what I mean? Like, it's not about where I was or where I've been. It's like, you know, in that moment, if you've been performing, if you've been producing, and I speak a lot about it, you know what I mean? Like now, because, you know, people ask me about that, like no one wanted me and stuff. And it's like, yeah, I understand why they didn't want me, because I wasn't in a place where they could be like, oh, we're going to take a chance on Rubio. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And that San Diego Loyal kind of adventure, and at the same time where the team was, like, just helped me get back where I wanted to be mentally. Mm-hmm. And kind of brought that same mentality here of like, just like being like, you know, I am, you know, the odd man out. They were planning on bringing in, you know, Bobby Wood and before me and stuff like that. And, you know, the first five games, I made it like a challenge to myself and said, look, I want to do this. You know what I mean? Because yeah, I have five games left, you know, or like one game left. You know, that was my mentality. Have five games here, give a good run at it. And like, I have to prove a point, you know what I mean? And, you know, the kind of that similar mentality, had a Loyal kind of same mentality I have now.
Now or never, a bit. Yeah,
exactly. Like now it's just like kind of going with it. At the same time, it only helps me have confidence with, like, you know, obviously scoring and assisting with the team and kind of making my name again and not really putting pressure on myself and be like, oh, like I got to do that. You know what I mean? It's just kind of like, you know, just go with it, make the most of the opportunity and, you know, don't look back. So, yeah.
That's big, man. It is. I had a similar moment in my career. I retired, and then this was back in the days when MLS could kind of hold your rights, mm-hmm. and I couldn't get in with an MLS team. And then it just kind of fizzled out, as in people weren't willing to deal with, you know, the whole rights process and pay for it and all that. And I ultimately ended up in Puerto Rico and I played for the Islanders. And we played Champions League games, and similar to your experience, it was longer than your experience. I was there for like, I don't know, maybe 8 weeks. Mm-hmm. And got a good run of games, but you find a bit of confidence, right? And you find, mm-hmm. you kind of refine your form, because, you know, you think that, okay, I'm above this level, but the reality is I'm at this level and I need to perform. And I need, mm-hmm. you know, there's guys here that want the same thing that I do, and that's mm-hmm. to jump up to the next level. But if I'm not dominating here, then I'm not going to have that opportunity. And it changes your mindset again, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. No, 100%. I mean, when I got that call from Landon, I was just like, you know, even my agent called me, was like, look, you know what I mean? We don't have many options. You know what I mean, when I got mm-hmm. that call from Landon, like the confidence he gave me, I was like, I got to go with it. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. Landon's not, when someone like Landon calls you, it's not, you know, just someone calling you. It's someone who like truly like sees something in you and wants you to be there and stuff. And
yeah,
the same kind of advice has to go with anyone who decides to go to San Diego Loyal. If you do get the call from Landon, you know, it's something that he sees or sees something in you that he thinks will not only benefit the team, but benefit you long-term. You know what I mean? And, mm-hmm. So, yeah, I mean, Landon, you know, I'm cool with Landon. I knew Landon since Norway, met him in Norway, played against him, or we were on the bench together when he was at Leon and I was at TJ. And then mm-hmm. finally he was my coach, you know what I mean? And kind of interesting where we met him, Norway, Mexico, and then the United States.
Dude, Rubio, you've had some iconic coaches, man.
Yeah. I mean, I had Maradona was something that was, I mean, that was very special with Maradona and stuff. I mean, that's the reason one of the biggest reasons why I decided to go to Dorados, you know what I mean? Second division. And at that time there was Ascenso. So there was promotion and Dorados was in the final before. So when I got there, like, yeah, they were looking for players who could take them over the top and beat San Luis to get promoted to first division. And so, yeah, when I got the call, possibly Dorados, it's like, yeah, let's go. You know what I mean? Let's do it.
Well, sorry. So before we get into Maradona, because that I'm excited about where these stories are going to go to. But, you know, for those that, you know, maybe haven't followed your career as closely, you're in Europe and then you're in Mexico. And when you move back from Europe, at what age did you move back to Tijuana?
I moved back to TJ like right when I turned like 22 years old.
22 years old. And you went over at 17, right?
Yeah, I went to Holland when I was 16, and I would like pretty much go 3 months in Holland, 3 months in the United States, because I didn't have I was non-EU, so it was much more difficult. And then at 18, I signed my first contract.
Okay, mm-hmm. And 18 to 22, you're bouncing around a little bit in between mm-hmm. reserve teams, right?
Yeah, so I was at Utrecht, for 2.5-3 years. And then from there, like, I just hopped around Norway, and then I hopped around. I was in Denmark first and then Norway, and kind of just didn't find like any kind of form, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Leaving Utrecht and like going to like a lower league, it was kind of like, you know, a little bit different for me, and being like, dude, like, you know, like this sucks and stuff like that. And then from there at 22, yeah, I was like, I need a change. I need to go somewhere where, like, you know, I know my people, like, you know what I mean? And stuff like that. And I'm closer to home. Mm-hmm. And yeah, that's when I decided to come to Tijuana when that opportunity presented itself. So
you go to TJ, and that's, I think things start to change for your career a little bit, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, a little bit. I mean, it started the first year that I was in TJ, I actually got called into the national team.
Right.
At 22. So, I got called in, and obviously the U.S. like failed to qualify for the World Cup. So they were kind of, you know, in this limbo where they didn't really have, like, you know, they were like a head coach in the standpoint of they were looking for a new head coach. And yeah, so I got called in and just kind of gave it a run, and, you know, played a couple of few games, went, you know, decent, didn't do anything crazy, but, you know, still always an honor to get called in. And then, yeah, like from there, I, you know, after that year, coach got sacked. And then, mm-hmm. you know, Oscar Parejas came in, and, you know, we talked before even, you know, preseason started, and we had this conversation, you know, like, yeah, like he, I wouldn't say planned on me have been in his plans, but, you know, ultimately, yeah, he was going to bring in his players, and it's football. I have no problem with it. I understand it completely.
Right.
And so, yeah, like, you know, we had this conversation where pretty much, yeah, like it was best for me to go on loan, uh-huh. and we started searching. And you know, when Dorados were like, look, like, you know, we think he's going to come here and he's going to play every game, and, you know, with his qualities and stuff, I was like, you know, Diego's there, Maradona's there, like, yeah. You know what I mean? Like, let's go for it. And it's a team that was also like fighting for promotion. They've been in the final before. So yeah, like it was something I was like, dude, if we have a good run, we're going to be in first division next year, and then I'm going to be right. at this team. So, yeah, for sure.
So tell us about the conversation that you have with Diego, and when he's telling you that I didn't want to start you.
Okay. So
this is great.
Yeah. So the first two games I didn't play because obviously the team had already started. They start really early in January. And, and Maradona was going through some surgery, and he wasn't able to come back also like on time. So like he came back the third game. And then I came and, you know, was training with the team, and we played one game before he actually came. It was against Querétaro, and I scored a free kick against them, and away game, we won 3-1. And the next game, and that game against Querétaro was all the players who like were reserve players, like the new players, reserve players, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And there was no starters from the previous final that they played. And then, yeah, like it was game time rolled around for that game. And it was, you know, that you have the charla or like the meeting before the game, like in the hotel, and like everyone was in the same starting line. It was the same from the final the previous year, except for one guy. And it was a left winger. I forget his name, but yeah. And it was me. And I was like kind of shocked. I was like, wow, like, you know, I'm gonna start. And he just looked at me. First thing he said, first time we had a conversation, he's like, look, I didn't want to start you, but I've been hearing a lot of good things about you, so you got to show me what you're worth. And I remember just like Maradona saying this to me.
And is this in front of the team?
In front of the whole team. And I just shook my head. I was like, okay, like, yeah. So I didn't see. And yeah, I mean, we lost 1-0, but from
talk
there,
about
I think
throw
we,
a little pressure on your shoulders.
Yeah.
Huh?
Only the that's best crazy. Player of all time, just being like, yeah, I didn't really believe in you, but I keep hearing good things.
Yeah, exactly. And yeah, I mean, we ended up losing 1-0, but, you know, I think from there he could see like I would have helped the team and up the team and stuff. And that year I ended up playing like almost every game and had a little back injury that took me out for a little bit. I put in the final both games, and obviously San Luis was just, they were so much more better than us and that year and both the finals. So yeah, we ended up losing. And but I don't know if you guys seen Dorados in Sinaloa on Netflix.
No.
Have you guys seen that?
No.
Dorados in Sinaloa. That's when Maradona, if you have Netflix.
Oh, right. Yeah. That's a documentary about him being there, right?
Yeah. 6 episodes short.
Were you then? Were you in it at that time?
Yeah. Fifth episode. Okay. You can cash in. Okay. The fifth
episode. Yeah. There he is.
And
the
sixth episode.
Okay.
Yeah, no, and you know, it's such a good documentary now. Obviously, you know, RIP to, you know, him, and you know, what he brought to soccer and stuff. But that documentary, I watched it before, you know, obviously he passed away. You watch it after, it's emotional, man. Like, you just see the kind of love he had for soccer and stuff like that. And that document, or not even, it's not even a documentary, like a little like series. And they just talk about, you know, his time there and stuff. And it's awesome, you know, because it's authentic. It's real in the moment, you know what I mean? The way he gets mad and, you know, frustrated with like certain calls and stuff. So it's pretty cool. You guys should give it a watch.
What was it? What's the craziest thing you saw from him down there?
I don't think there was anything crazy. I think
he was sitting on, a throne on the sidelines, correct?
What do you mean?
Like a big throne, like a king's like throne chair. Wasn't he sitting in on the sidelines?
I mean, I think the craziest, like what Maradona.
Yeah, that's brushed to the side because there's crazier shit.
Yeah, no, I mean, the thing that was the best thing, or like the craziest thing that I ever experienced in my life, is 2 days before the game, we'd play 11v11. And they were the best games I'd ever played in my life. Just because Maradona would be in the middle of the field, like just watching. Because you knew if you scored two goals in that 11v11 aside, you'd be starting that weekend. That's how he was.
Yeah,
he didn't care, like, you know what I mean, like in the standpoint. Yeah, like obviously, like a player was doing well, like he'd play. But if this player scored two goals in that training before, like at 11v11, like he would be starting the next game.
That's how he.
You know what I mean, that's how he was. That's how he rolled. You know what I mean? And those trainings, I swear you not, those were the best trainings that, or even best games I have ever been a part of. Like guys were out there, like full on sweating, tackling each other.
This was 2 days before a game?
2 days before the game, 11v11. We'd play for like 20 minutes and it would be like, you know, brawl. Like it would be crazy and stuff like that. And, you know, guys trying to prove a point.
Coaches try, you know, always say is, and you're playing for your starting job on the weekend. Mm-hmm. He was actually doing it.
Yeah, exactly.
And you knew
exactly.
it.
Exactly. Yeah, no, you knew it. Everyone had it. And like even guys who were like at the bottom of like the, what's it called? You know, of the chart, you get, say, the 18-man, 20-man roster, they would get a chance to play that 11v11. You scored a goal or two goals, you'd be on the bench the next game. You know what I mean? If you were all at the bottom, 25th man, you'd be on the bench.
How did that affect the environment? Did that affect the environment? I mean, there's not a ton of places that operate like that.
Yeah, I mean, I just think he was like that. And, you know, he just didn't, like, he just kind of had this, you know, of who he was, that he was able to bring the best trainings that I've ever experienced in my life just to life, you know, because of his image, the person he was, people wanted to show.
Yeah. If Maradona's watching, I think the level is going to get raised a little bit. You step
your game up, Sal.
Yeah, for sure.
And you probably saw that even in San Diego Loyal. I'm sure there's some teams that don't train like us throughout the USL because Landon's there. I mean, and that probably was part of the stigma, you know, him calling you and being like, look, Rubio, we want you to sign here. We think you can really help us out this year. And then I'm sure the conversation was even, hey, you know, finish off this season with us and then you can go on to bigger and better things. But right now, what I mean?
Mm-hmm. No, that was a conversation that I had with him all the time. And but yeah, I mean, Landon Donovan, yeah, his name speaks for himself as well. Is, you know, he brought the best out of me and brings out the best of a lot of players. And you know, there's guys that I've talked to now that would love to go play for Landon, you know what I mean? But yeah, unfortunately, you know, it's just the reality that you can only have 25 men on a roster. You can't, you know, you can't have, you know, everyone. So, but yeah, no.
Did you reach out to Klinsmann at all when you were, you know, looking for a spot? Because getting a call up from a guy like that, another, I mean, iconic name that carries a lot of weight in a lot of places.
Mm-hmm. I mean, no, I think from the last time I talked to Klinsmann was in TJ when he was actually, he would go to the games because he's from San Diego. So he lives in San Diego, or like he has a house in San Diego.
I think Orange County, and, right? Or Laguna or something. A little bit up north. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah,
he used to take his helicopter to the StubHub Center.
He's within chopper range.
Yeah, he's
within.
It's all right.
But yeah, he would catch a game one time and I saw him and I was kind of shocked, you know, because you know, you see Jurgen Klinsmann, you know, German and in Mexico. And, but he just knew everyone there. And he just was like really happy that I, you know, went to TJ and was able to like, you know, make a contract there, you know, secure myself there and stuff like that. And yeah, it was kind of, you know, cool to see him. But I think that was the last time I saw him. Yeah. And I haven't had a really a conversation with him in a long time. So
we had another guest on the show that had a similar experience for a short amount of time in Herc Gomez. You talk to him at all?
Hercules Gomez?
Yeah.
No, I mean, I haven't talked to him really. I mean, I've seen a couple of his tweets, you know, and when he would, you know, for the national team and stuff, and when he would talk about me, maybe, but that's, yeah, I've never really talked to him. Even when he was in TJ, I wasn't there, so we never crossed paths. So.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it's interesting.
But I heard he's a great guy. So.
Played USL, played Liga MX, bounced around a little bit in MLS, and, you know, and kind of did the whole thing. I bet you he's got some unique perspective that. My guess is he'd be willing to share.
Yeah, for sure. Maybe we'll cross paths at some point.
he's a good guy.
Yeah.
What was it like playing under Landon? I know you know you come in for a couple games, you get that phone call, and it's you know, he says, hey, it's Landon Donovan, which is like, you know, usually it's like, oh, that, this is actually pretty cool, but you're actually walking off a training pitch with Diego Maradona. So yeah, exactly. You looked a little bit different. Like, as a whole, Landon. But you're getting a couple games, like, where's your headspace at?
Yeah, I mean, I think the first, I was supposed to play, I don't know, Las Vegas Lights, and paperwork for some reason didn't go through, so I had to wait another week. But yeah, from the get-go, I think Landon, just those simple conversations we had were like, yeah, man, like, you're going to come here, you're going to be the man, you're going to do this, do that. And like, just that kind of conversation that I had with him.
Mm-hmm.
He put that little bit of pressure on me, but at the same time, that pressure of being like, he believes in me.
I believe, I mean? Yeah.
Yeah, I believe. And even like before the pregame, I don't remember where my first game I played, but he put me on like, because he would put the PK spot, and then, you know, who would take the PK, and it was already like Rubio, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And like from there, I was like, okay, you know what I mean? I know my place, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, he don't care, you know, who's on the team, like, I was going to take it. And you know, even seeing my name on that PK, so I was like, holy cow.
Was it against Galaxy 2?
Yeah, I think so.
And we won 4-1 or something. You had to go.
Yeah, something like that. I scored a little tap in.
Or 4-0 or 3-0, something like that.
Yeah. And but yeah, just kind of like, you know, the person he was, the player he was, and just kind of giving me that confidence kind of just helped me to kind of, you know, boost me and like go towards that way that like he wanted at the same time I wanted. And at the same time, like, I went to San Diego Loyal, like, with this mentality of, like, enjoying the moment. Like, I wasn't so far ahead thinking, like, oh, I got to, like, you know, score, like, 10, 15 goals. That kind of just happened because, yeah, like, I had a good run and stuff like that. But at the same time, I was just like, let's enjoy soccer. Let's enjoy it. Let's be in a place that, you know, I haven't been in a while. You know what I mean? Like, I hadn't been like that in a while and stuff like that. So.
It's funny you say that, because I remember the last game of the year when we walked off because of the homophobic slur against Phoenix, and we were drinking beers after the game, kind of like, you know, reminiscing on the season and stuff. Mm-hmm. And I remember kind of giving my sales pitch to you to come back next year. I was like, Rubio, when was the last time you enjoyed playing soccer? That's what soccer's all about. Man. It's not about the money. It's not about this or that. It's about, you know, how much have you really enjoyed playing? And you were like, you're right, Sal, and then and then the MLS teams come calling, and I don't blame you at all.
I remember having that conversation. I was like, dude, you're right, man. I mean, San Diego is nice. Like,
yeah,
I mean, you're from San Diego.
Yeah,
so like,
yeah, it's different.
You know what, is every player like is hoping that an MLS team comes in San Diego at some point, you know what I mean? Just because San Diego holds that kind of vibrant. Yeah.
You can't really be depressed just living here, you know. It's just like the vibe is so nice, and
so we'll see. I mean, I'm hearing that San Diego might have a team, so you know,
I'm sure there's discussions somewhere along the line,
somewhere, a couple places. So how do you end up in Salt Lake? How does that happen?
It's kind of interesting. So you know, my agent ends up, you know, receiving kind of interest from Real Salt Lake, and you know, I was like, dude, anywhere, I'm happy to go anywhere, you know what I mean, as long as I can go to a place and have a chance to play, you know what I mean, as long as I get a fair shot, you know what I mean. Not saying that, you know, there's bigger teams, there's bigger markets, you know what I mean, like, for example, LA Galaxy, even Inter Miami, you know what I mean, they're gonna bring in, you know, like, for example, Gonzalo Higuain and Chicharito. You know what I mean, I didn't want to go to a place where it was like, I had no shot on, I wouldn't say no shot on playing, but it would be much more difficult to bend Chicharito or Higuain.
Yeah, because absolutely. Yeah,
these guys sell jerseys. These guys are big time names. Mm-hmm. So I, you know, I kind of told my agent, I was like, look, I want to go somewhere where I will have a shot, or at least be able to, you know, compete and have a shot to play. Mm-hmm. Cause at the end of the day, like, I didn't want to go somewhere and then have to go on loan. You know what I mean? And, you know, not have the same kind of, like, keep going from place to place, you know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. moving all the time. And that's, you know, you guys know that, like, it's not a good feeling having to get up and move everything at once. And then maybe sometimes it comes out of nowhere, a new team and stuff. But yeah, just kind of reached out and talked to the coach, and he pretty much told me, look, like, you know, like, you know, we're looking to bring in, you know, new players, you know, to kind of change the vibe. We'd have the best season at the same time. You know, you played well in San Diego Loyal and stuff. And
this is with Freddie.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, we're willing to offer you this and stuff. And I kind of was just like at a place where I was like, look, you know what I mean? Like, I have nothing to lose again. And, you know, have to play, you know, for my job, and knowing that they're going to bring in new players and I'm not going to be the guy, you know what I mean? That they're like their top guy they're going to bring in. And just kind of came in during preseason and, you know, you just started to get to work, you know what I mean? And I had a conversation with Freddie not too long ago, but yeah, like how he was just, you know, kind of shocked to see, you know, how far along the game I was. And I didn't expect that out of me. You know what I mean? And it was interesting to me because I was like, man, you know what I mean, like, I did play on the national team. You know what I mean? Like, I did.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
I
did. It's funny how,
like, you know, yeah. I'm not a bad player. You know what I mean? And
he's probably wondering, like, how the hell did so many teams just like pass on you or not, you know, give you a chance, especially after seeing what you did against for San Diego Loyal. I mean, if you saw some of his goals, you'd be like, how is this guy not playing in the MLS? Yeah. And obviously, yeah. you know, Salt Lake took that chance, I guess you could say, but it doesn't seem like much of a chance if you actually sat and watched him play. So
Rubio, yeah. Preki, who was the head coach of Toronto FC, that ultimately signed me to Chivas USA before I retired and then before I went to Puerto Rico. But anyway, I went to Puerto Rico and Preki signs me for Toronto, and he gives me a similar backhanded compliment. He brings me in and I'm in preseason, and this is a quintessential Preki. He goes, Dane, you are you're not as bad as I thought you were.
And you wonder, why did they bring you in if that's truly how they felt. Yeah.
Oh, it's so good. Sure. It's like, but it feels good, right? You're like, oh, yeah. Wait, that's a good thing.
Yeah.
I guess that's a good. All right. Yeah, sure. Yeah. I'll take it.
Yeah, exactly. Everything I get. But yeah, like I said, I think ultimately that also the reality of like people forget quick as much as, you know, and sorry, that's how it is, man. If soccer is there's so many players constantly coming in, and you know what I mean, like they always say, like, make sure, you know, take care of yourself first, you know what I mean, if it is financially, you know what I mean, stuff like that. But you know, that aspect of like, yeah, I was out of the picture and now I'm back, or you can say I'm back in the picture, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like that, an instant that happens, and that's football. And you know, as much as I'm in a high right now, and yeah, I'm playing, I'm a starter and doing well, but yeah, it can change like that too. And like that reality is something that, yeah, it's in the back of my head, but at the same time, it's like, okay, if, you know, be ready if that moment does come, or be ready to be able to continue to fight, just kind of stay neutral. You know what I mean? And I'm sure you guys can relate to that a lot too. Yeah. It's just like, you know, as much as you have your highs, like, yeah, like people forgot about me. And now, you know, making a little bit of noise, like people, you know, are thinking about you, but it can change quick. And not soccer, a little injury or something like that can nag you and end up being the reason why you could, you know, end up going down and stuff. So it's interesting. Soccer is, you know, that's the beauty about soccer.
We had a Pablo Mascherani on our podcast. Mm-hmm. He was actually our first one for this season. And what do you think of him and I also know Matt Taylor pretty well, from UCLA days. How are those two guys as assistants?
Oh, they're awesome, man. I think Pablo, he's defensive wise, like he's helped his team a lot. We've come such a long way, even in preseason, you know, him trying to, you know, implement like his kind of way to play. Like we got it so much better. And even the guys that I've talked to on the team, they say it all the time. It's like the year before or the 2 years that, you know, Paolo wasn't there. Yeah, they struggled a lot. Like defensively, they didn't really have like a way identity to like defend. And like now, you know what I mean? We are a very different team. And even those guys, the defensive players, are like, man, this like, this guy is the real deal. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, it's crazy what one person who did play at the highest level can, like, really, you know, change, like, the mm-hmm. way the team looks. It's not like the players are bad. It's just sometimes you need to implement, you know, yeah. certain things. And that's why coaching is so important. Like, at the end of the day, you can have the best players, but if you don't have the right coaching, I mean, it doesn't, you know, work out. And then, yeah, Matt, I mean, I didn't know Matt, but yeah, Matt, like, helps a lot with attacking, you know, and he's a great guy. And he's always, he actually called me after the game against Nashville. And, you know, we had a good conversation, you know, because it was a game where, you know, Nashville is very defensive and defends really well. And he just said, look, mm-hmm. like, you know, don't be frustrated about those games, you know, the opportunity to come. And I think I had like one or two shots on goal, you know, it was one of those things that, yeah, like we just couldn't get through them. And, you know, having those conversations with him and him reaching out just shows, yeah, he does care about me. At the same time, he cares about making sure that my head's straight and continue to, like, you know, believe in what I'm doing and not letting, you know, a game like Nashville affect me. So I get along with everyone, and, you know, even Freddie's a great guy, and he's, you know, cool and stuff. And even his story, you know, because obviously he started really like at the bottom of like RSL and kind of developed his, you know, coaching mm-hmm. status Monarchs, and then, you know, got his, you know, first team, you know, job as a head coach. And, you know, I understand that he's, you know, last season was the best, so he's trying to, you know, prove everything as well this season. So they're all great guys for sure.
When we had Pablo on, he talked about, you know, kind of setting a locker room culture, and I've played with him as a teammate, and he, you know, talked about the opportunity to kind of help support and set that with Freddie and with Matt. And he was really pumped about it. Has he walked the walk?
Oh yeah, for sure. I mean, we were laughing the other day because there was like this image of him coming, like, he used to have an earring right here or like a little nose piercing.
Did he take it out? He doesn't wear anymore.
No, he don't wear it anymore. And like, I was laughing, you know, because we were just shocked, you know, Pablo, you know what I mean? Like having the earring, but we talked about it. We were like, yo, like, why did you take it off? He's like, man, like, come on. Like, I'm a coach now. You know what I mean? Like, I'm older. Like, that stuff, that's like, I can't do that anymore. And I was like, oh, true, fair enough.
Oh, yeah, he's really matured, Pablo.
Yeah, but like, yeah, you know what I'm saying? Like, those conversations are like things that make a locker room. You know what I mean? Being able to, you know, open up about your career as well as, you know, being like, yo, like, yeah, I wasn't the smart, like, I didn't make the brightest of decisions when I was younger, kind mm-hmm. of, you know. Open up a locker room and everyone can kind of have this vibe to be able to have any conversation. And I think anything with the coaching, like as you get a coaching, if you're honest and if you're able to, like, I wouldn't say joke around, because obviously there's a time where you have to be serious, but yeah, like if you're able to create this vibe where everyone can like be able to talk and joke around and like at the same time be serious, like, you know, the kind of locker room goes so much more of a long way if the coaching staff like was completely separate from the players mm-hmm. and it was just like soccer. And but sometimes that works, and you know, for me, I've always found it more successful to be able to, you know, kind of have that vibe where, you know, the coaching at the end of the day, like, are as open to the players as the players are open to them. So
it's a balance, right? You know, you have to be able to enjoy yourself but also turn the switch on mm-hmm. and get to work too. And that's a responsibility of the coaches and the environment that they set, but it's also on players, you know, and some players can mm-hmm. handle it and they can handle that balance, and some players can't. And that's mm-hmm. kind of where it goes back to, you know, getting the right group and getting the right culture and putting the right roster together and all that. You guys have, mm-hmm. I mean, you've started off well, you've started off personally well, you know, what are the aspirations here for the group? What do you guys think you got?
Yeah, I mean, I think ultimately the motivation has always been, like, I mean, guys are saying that we're going to be 14th, 13th in the West, which is second to last, I think. Yeah, mm-hmm. something like that. Or even last. I think that's last, actually. Because what, there's 27 teams?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's I didn't realize it. Yeah. So, we're pretty much last. And so, like, yeah, we're trying to prove a point being like, yo, like, you know what I mean? We have a good team. We have quality players. You know what I mean? You don't need to have, you know, big names to not have a good team. And we kind of have just been kind of had the mentality of that underdog here. And everyone here just kind of in preseason started to get to work and been like, oh, we have everything to prove. And the first four games, you know, unlucky, like we got really, I wouldn't say unlucky, but lack of concentration against San Jose. We were up 1-0 with like 8 minutes left in the game.
Mm-hmm.
And we lost 2-1. Like
Wando scored twice.
Yeah, yeah. Wando scored
some guy,
twice, but
Chris Wondolowski.
Oh my god! Yeah, it's crazy. 678
million.
Yeah, he blacked out and just scored two goals.
But yeah, you're gonna be like, yeah. Other than that, like the team has been playing well. We would have won that game. It would be 10 points. Would be, you know, I want to say top of the West because we were two games behind, but we'd be up there. And
yeah.
You know, it just shows that this team is, you know, has everything to prove. At the same time, yeah, want to continue to work. And we know it's a long season. Even for me, I know it's a long season, but, you know, when I'm doing well right now, I have to be also understand that, yeah, I want to continue to score. I want to continue to have assists. But even like, for example, like I didn't do anything against Nashville or like I didn't score or have an assist or be able to provide for the team, you know, also take a step back and be like, okay, like, you know, like don't be too hard on yourself, like kind of continue to do work, continue to do the things that you were doing. And then event, like it will happen. It will come. You know what I mean? It's a long season. So
you're looking at Salt Lake, you're looking at their roster before you get in there. And now you've been there for preseason and you've been there for a few games. Who's surprised you the most?
Well, I think Andrew Brody, our right back, who's been, you know, playing because of Aaron Herrera being a little bit hurt.
Yeah.
I think he has really just kind of like kind of in a similar story with me because he was at RSL Monarchs last year.
Uh-huh.
And he played like almost every game with them, and you know he got the first team contract this year, and he's played almost every game. And
yeah,
man, the guy can play. The guy has wheels. You know what I mean? The guy is technical. The guy is good. Like the guy has a good mind of the game, and he's in good form right now. And just kind of showed me, like, you know what I mean? Like it sometimes, you know what I mean? No matter where you come from, you can always find a way to, like, you know, play well. And he's a perfect example of like a player who I wouldn't say like didn't, you know, get through the cracks or like is missing cracks, but like, yeah, like now he's showing his qualities. And he did play RSL Monarch, but just because he played RSL Monarch doesn't mean that he's not good enough for to be in the MLS or even the highest level. And so it's great to see him do that well and have his kind of form, you know what I mean? Because I'm sure, similar story with me, I'm sure he was inspired to be first team, and he's kind of been going with this run of form and being like, hey, I'm playing, like continue to produce, continue to play this way, and like there's no reason why I shouldn't be playing. And so he's definitely the most like surprising that I've seen so far.
I think you're obviously turning some heads as well. But that's cool. It's good to see. I think that, you know, for us, we've been lucky. Our last two guests have been two of the brightest stars that are scoring goals for potential U.S. national team. We do this thing. It's called the plead the fifth. Have you seen it, or do you know what you're about to get yourself into?
I have no idea.
All right. So, so here's the way this works. And usually you get interrogated by Gordo, who can't read the questions because he can't read all that well. But he's feeling a little under the weather. So I'm going to get to deliver him. Sal and I'll trade off. But basically here's how it works. So you get five questions, and if you answer all five of them, then you get to ask us anything you want, any question, and we have to answer it. But if you can plead the fifth on one of the five. So,
okay. So you don't have to answer one. Yeah.
Okay. So I wouldn't recommend using them, you know, in the first four, but that's up to you. It's your decision, right?
I'm going to answer all of them. I'm trying to think of a question to ask y'all after.
Are you a gambler?
Am I a gambler? Yeah.
Oh, okay. He's a risk taker. Okay, yeah.
All right. So you're rolling the dice here. Yep. Well, that's good. All right. So we'll get you started off on an easy one. Okay. So you're doing a finishing drill after training, right? You're at the top of the box in the D. You get five balls served out to you. Your opponent is Landon Donovan. Who's winning the competition?
Me, obviously.
Oh, that's an easy one. I love it. That's going straight back to LD. You know you're going to run into him again, right?
Even Landon came out with the interview the other day, or like he said something. He's like, when he's in front of goal, he's a good finisher, or like something like that. He's a fantastic finisher. So I would think that Landon would also be like five shots. You know, be like, we're both like, you know,
yo, Landon is a competitor, pal. You think he's taking you in a competition? I would hope
Landon would be, you know, just as
he hopped in on a finishing drill the other day, a day before a game. We were doing like a fun finishing drill to kind of lighten the mood, and dude, he had some left-footed volleys that I was like, oh damn, that looks like vintage Donovan right there.
Oh my god, and this guy is ridiculous sometimes with his finishes. Yeah, but just his first goal back.
Do you remember his first goal back when he retired for like the fourth time and came back and came back with the Galaxy?
I don't remember it, but I remember in the locker room because we had a game.
Robbie Rogers played him in. He chops it back onto his left foot and curls it around to the back post side netting. It was like, geez, this guy's so
efficient. I'm sure Landon, you know, he would have the edge if we were to do 10 shots, but five, I think it's open. It's an open game. I mean, I don't know, left footed or right footed, that is different, but if it's all right footed, you know, I mean, like, we'll see.
It's a coin flip.
I like it. All right, Sal.
All right, so question number two, best forward in the MLS today that's not on your current roster on RSL?
Chris Wondolowski.
Okay.
I think personally, even he showed his qualities against, you know, us. And I think just from respect wise, man, this guy is, you know what I mean? Like what, 37, 38? Mm-hmm. I don't know how old
37, 38. Yeah. Well,
you know, he's a beast. You know what I mean? At the end of the day, like who wouldn't want to have that kind of player on your team? And yeah, respect to all the rest, you know, like Chicharito and stuff like that and everyone like that. But Chris Wondolowski has over 100 and something goals in this league. And, you know what I mean? Like, I would hate to go against him the last 10 minutes of a game, so.
Yeah, and you just got to witness it firsthand. That's fair. Yeah,
I witnessed it firsthand, and I remember walking in the locker room. I was pissed off. I was like, man, we know who went. Chris Wondolowski is out. You don't have to worry about the other guy. Worry about Chris Wondolowski. You know what I mean? This guy is known for this stuff. So, I mean, I just think, like, yeah, I tip my hat to him. It's just like, yeah, I think he's one of the best to do it in the MLS, and, you know, I think he's the best striker on any team. I think any team, you know, you would want to have that kind of guy, you know.
I played a ton of games. Yeah, I played a ton of games against him, but also played with him for a year in 2013 in San Jose. And he's that competitor at everything that he does. It doesn't matter what it is, whether you're flipping quarters in the locker or we're shooting threes in Santa Clara's gym, or you know, it's a finishing drill after the session. He wants to win, and he's dialed in and he's locked in no matter what it is. And
he's always finding the perfect spots too. Like it's honestly crazy.
It's a gift. It really is incredible. I mean, like, it's one of those things where he's just like, yeah, right place at the right time. And you see it over and over again. And that's why I think at the end of the day, like what is a striker? I mean, okay, great. You could shoot from outside the 18 and put it top corner. Yeah, you can do that. But if a guy scores it from 2 yards away from the goal, it don't matter if you scored it from the 18. You're going to be more in videos and, you know, you're going to be talking about, but the goal is going to count the same. You know what I mean? And at the end of the day, the guy finds a way to score and stuff. And you love to see it, and, you know, happy for him, obviously, because I met him. I've been in a camp with him, and, you know, I'm sure he's been through a lot and stuff, but, you know, great guy and, you know, good person too. So.
All right. So you got Dallas this weekend, right? You're the GM of Real Salt Lake, and you can sign one player for this weekend's game. Who are you getting?
Goodness. Who am I getting? That's tough. Who am I getting?
I'll thin it down for you. You got to take somebody out of the league, out of MLS.
Got to take someone out of – what do you mean?
An MLS player, current MLS player. You can go out and get them, and they become a Salt Lake player. Who are you taking?
That's tough.
Is he pleading?
Nah. I'll say Chicharito to put a little pressure on me.
Okay.
That's a lot of pressure on you.
That's a lot of pressure.
That's not a little bit of pressure.
He's my idol. So is he? He is. So I'll put Chicharito, yeah, for sure. I mean, you know, kind of, we're both scoring goals and we're doing well. And then, you know, like, yeah, if I'm not scoring by like the 50th or 45th minute, you know what I mean? He's going to come in or something like that.
Okay. So he's on the bench.
He's on the bench.
I guess, but at the end of the day, all respect to him. You know what I mean? Like, if I don't score the first 45, I'm for sure seeing the bench.
You'll split the time.
Or share the field with him. So, I don't know.
Cool. All right.
That's a good signing. He's doing some things right now.
Yeah, he's doing all right, I think. I think my under call on 15 and a half goals is not looking great right now.
Yeah.
All right. Question four. Better mustache, Matt Taylor or Pablo Mastroianni?
Sheesh.
Do they still currently have them? Both of them?
No. Okay. I don't think Matt has one.
Does he not have one?
I'm gonna say Pablo. I'm gonna say Pablo. I think, you know, he has that kind of Latino gene, and you know, a Latino definitely looks better with the mustache.
Have you seen the images of Pablo and his mustache on the sidelines? Have you seen those?
Oh, the old bicycle. Yeah, the old handlebar.
Oh, for sure.
Unreal. No, Pablo. Yeah. Unreal. Matt, I mean, in defense, Matt Taylor had the handlebars as a player. Yeah. In-game handlebars.
Yeah, he did. He did.
Too.
Talking about that, man, I can't even. I'm 25. I don't grow any hair.
Doesn't look like
you
it,
weren't
dude.
On the list. You weren't an option.
Man, it sucks though because I don't know about you. I'm sure you guys hate it. I mean, hate it sometimes because you always got to shave and make sure you look clean. But I just don't get any hair. Like I don't get anything. So.
Yeah, you'll be okay when you're like 40, 45, and you still look like you're 28. You'll be all right with it.
Yeah.
Well, so he's answered them all, yeah?
Yeah, I got one more left. Okay. Hopefully he...
we'll Here we see. Go, Rubio. Who gets their number retired first for Real Salt Lake? Kyle Beckerman or Nick Raimondo?
Ooh. Then I gotta take a piss on that one.
Got him.
That's tough.
I know
that's
tough. Bowl, that's why. That's a tough one.
Yeah, it's tough.
Yeah, it's a tough one.
Oh, man.
I don't know who to pick.
Yeah, that's tough because it's like you can't.
Didn't they both retire? Last year, right? Both of them.
Mm-hmm.
What did Beckerman play one extra year?
Beckerman played one more year.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, okay. Retired one year previous.
Was Beckerman an original 96 guy or no?
No.
Okay, but Raimondo was. Right?
Raimondo
was. I think he was the last one that was the night like played every year in the league. Pretty sure.
Raimondo's at all the games though.
Yeah.
I haven't seen Beckerman yet, but he's
Beckerman just got the head coaching job at Utah Valley College.
Ah, okay. Yeah. Okay. True.
Raimondo, didn't he just take a position in the academy?
Yeah.
Yeah, he did. Yeah.
Yeah.
But he's always at the game, always giving a big hug, you know? Like, it's great to see him and stuff. I mean, Nick.
Man, you can't go wrong with either of those guys. Two incredible.
Two great players, yeah, for sure. For this. I mean, they're both going to have their shirt retired, but yeah. It'd be interesting to see who, though, before. Like,
they'll do it at the same time. They'll do it at the same time. They'll do it.
They would have to. But at the same time, like, that would be kind of messed up if, like, one got over the other. I would be mad if that guy got it before me or something like that, you know?
Yeah.
That's a PR nightmare waiting to happen right there.
Take it from us, Salt Lake. Just do it at the same time. It's the easiest way.
I'll solve that question for you right there.
Well, Rubio, thanks for being on, buddy. Really appreciate it.
Appreciate
and thanks
y'all,
for
man.
Catching up with me, man. It's been good.
Appreciate you guys so much, man. Yeah. At the end of the day, you know, hopefully we cross paths again and, you know, talk and just talk about life and, you know, share a beer, whatever it is. So
those are always good. And the pre-game, pre-practice serious talks we used to have with our team. There was a lot going on in life at that time. The pandemic and the
pandemic,
civil rights
election,
and
everything. It was crazy, man.
Yeah.
What a year.
Yeah.
Good
times,
man.
Yeah.
All right,
Rubio, best of luck, man.
Keep going,
man.
Man.
Take care. All right, man.
Take care, man.
We'll talk soon.
Talk soon. Later, man.
Bye.
See you. Rubio Rubin, it's kind of crazy. He starts with such a bang, right? And this is something that I did not experience. I was not a big time prospect at such a young age, but he talked a little bit about what that, you know, almost missing the adversity, right? Like having to go through some of the things that players go through in the States in their high school careers or in their college careers or in their academy careers, and kind of bypassing all that and jumping straight into Europe. And there's so much there, which is also pretty wild.
Yeah.
Like he's such a young player, but still like a worldly experienced player.
Yeah. Well, it's, you know, you heard him talk about, you know, part of his I guess non-success, you could say, early on in his career was because of, you know, mental reasons or reasons that he couldn't handle certain parts of the game mentally. And so you wouldn't think that, right, from hearing him talk to us today, because he seems like he's so matured beyond his years and seems like he has it figured out now, which, you know, it certainly seems that way on the field. Some of the goals he's been scoring. So, you know, I saw it last year with USL.
You got to see it up close and personal.
Firsthand, for sure. Yeah. And I was very, very impressed and knew straight away after those few games that he just had to garner interest from MLS. And obviously he did. And then you start hearing, you know, cause we have a lot, you know, we're all friends with him still on our team, but you start hearing through preseason, like, oh, it looks like he's probably going to be a starter for them. And we're like, oh, wow, that's good for him, you know? And then he's scoring bangers and we're in the airport just tweeting, like, did you see Rubio scored again or whatever? So yeah, it's been cool to kind of see him, develop this way, as a player. And I, you know, wish him much more success.
He's done well. Long road ahead of him, but you know, it certainly has quite a few experiences in his bag to reach into, and it looks like he's flourishing at Salt Lake. So best of luck, Rubio. That was good chat. Appreciate you being on, and thanks for checking into the podcast, guys.
Yeah, catch you all next week. We'll continue to have some good guests for you all, and I hope you liked it. So see you guys next week. Thanks.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.